Hey, everybody, welcome to the next module of Small Town Profits. And this episode, podcast, video, whatever we're going to call it, we're going to be talking about building your buyer's list. And this is not that difficult. It's actually pretty easy. And so we're going to be talking about that. Larry, you want to take it away?
Exactly. Now, guys, first of all, I want to start this by saying I've always said for years and years and years, it's much easier to find a house for a buyer than a buyer for a house, okay? Yes. It's much easier to find a house for a buyer than a buyer for a house. However, having said that, I will tell you that about 80% of my properties, and I don't know the exact number, I'm guessing, okay? But it's the vast majority of my properties that I sell in small town USA come from a brand new buyer I had never met until they responded to some marketing about a specific property, okay? Yeah. So my goal here is not to tell you that you've got to build a buyer's list before you start selling properties, right? Although I do tell people, work as hard at building your buyer's list as you do at finding properties, okay? So, but we market all of our properties, right? All of our properties really hard. And even if the property sells, we keep our marketing out there because we always want the phone to ring and people respond on Facebook and Craigslist and Connected Investor and all these other services and sites that we're going to get into, right? So I do tell people, work as hard building your buyer's list as you do at finding deals. But a lot of what we're doing is promoting a property. If you don't have a property, you're going to create a property out of thin air, okay? When somebody responds, I'm sorry, it's no longer available. What are you looking for? I'll get you on my buyer's list, right?
Yeah.
And remember this, guys. Small town buyers, they have what's called mattress money, all right? Mattress money, meaning that they have money that's not in a bank anywhere, right? It might be in a safe. In small town USA, it's probably in a gun safe sitting beside the Glock, right? Yeah, it's mattress money or it's safe money, right? It's in a safe at home, right? Or backyard mason jar money, you know? Some people, you know, do that, right? They also, there's parents, grandparents, nieces, nephews, the rich uncle money, right? It's not unusual at all for somebody who wants to buy a house to have the parent or the grandparent buy that house for them, right? They'll buy the house for a child and their spouse or a grandchild and their spouse so they can be close to mom and dad or close to the grandparents, and where they got built-in babysitters, they've got help if they need it. You know, it's small town USA where people were born and raised. They have ties to the community. They know a lot of people there, and they want to live and raise a family. That's the beautiful thing about small town USA. I love it because it's not like people are moving in, moving out, right? They have sense of community. They have sense of values. They have small town values, and they have relatives close by to help them out if they get in a jam, right? So let's jump right in and talk about some ways we do this, okay? Some ways to build your buyer's list. Always you want to be contacting people at your RIA group, okay? You want to take flyers to your RIA group. We take printed flyers to our RIA group on every property we get, all right? Every property we get. We take flyers with us. And the flyer talks about, it's got a picture of the property, and we have a trackable number through our smartphone app where it's trackable. And we know if somebody calls a specific number, it goes right into Podio automatically. And it lets us know this is a flyer lead. So we know it's somebody that picked up a flyer at a RIA meeting, right? So you also want to call every I Buy Houses sign, every I Buy Houses ad, every I Buy Houses flyer, anything printed classifieds. When you see other properties and wholesalers, you want to look for keywords that other investors are using. Landlord, rental, fixer-upper, handyman special, right? Fix and flip, all those. Online classifieds as well as printed. Every small town USA has a printed newspaper, okay? I shouldn't say every, but the majority. Guys, that's gold. That's gold. your small town people, they want to read that newspaper. They want to flip the pages, right? They're not looking online. In fact, a lot of people don't even have internet access or email addresses, right? They want to see the paper. And you can call up the local paper and run an ad. Sometimes you can run an ad on your computer, right? You can log in, set up an account, and run an ad like in Shelby. There's a newspaper called the Shelby Star, right? There's another one called the Shelby Shopper, right? You can run ads in those and do it on your computer. Set it up, give them a credit card, do the ad, set up the ad, and post it just like that, right?
This is so important. Like as we're going through all of these, I just wanted to reemphasize what you said earlier about getting a trackable phone number, because you're putting these phone numbers on flyers, on I Buy Houses signs, and these local newspapers. You're going to get phone calls from them. You could even, like, there's those Farm and Machine classified ad newspapers, right? You could put an ad in there. It's not that expensive, the Penny Savers and things like that. But you've got to have a trackable phone number. So when that person calls you, they're getting added to your CRM or your database somehow. And it could be just like you go out and you get a virtual phone number from CallRail or Vumber with a V, or you use a CRM like mine with REI Simple, where you get a specific phone number for your buyer's campaigns, your buyer advertising campaigns. And then anytime somebody calls that number, they can hear an outbound voicemail, or it goes right to somebody who answers it, but that number gets tracked, and then you can follow up with them when you get more properties in the future. I want to add one more thing too with the RIA groups. You should still do flyers on properties you've sold before. Maybe you just sold a property a few days ago or a week ago. Still bring a flyer to that property to the RIA group, because you may find somebody who's looking for a house in that area of town.
Especially if you don't have another property that you need to sell right now. Right?
Yes.
Yeah. You don't want it to look like you have nothing going on. Right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. So few of the things that we do, we promote all of our properties on Facebook. We're a member of about 80-some different local Facebook groups. The Facebook Marketplace, Buy, Sell, Swap, Yard Sale Groups, Online Yard Sale Groups, Buy, Sell, Trade, Swap, Meetup Groups, whatever it is, not meetup.com, but the Facebook groups, right? So we're a member of about 80-some of those, and all of our properties get promoted on those Facebook groups, okay? And also, we put them on our own Facebook page, right? As well as the local real estate groups as well, right? Even if you're a couple of counties out from the MSA, you need to join those real estate groups in the MSA, because people are having trouble getting deals in the MSA, right? And they're starting to look a little further out, but you're going out a couple of counties. So you're still able to sell houses to people in the MSA, even though the house might be an hour away, okay? Yeah. So that's very important. Join your local real estate Facebook groups as well, LinkedIn groups as well, Connected Investors. We promote our properties on Connected Investors. And, you know, but you got to be careful when you're promoting your properties on websites like that. I'll give you an example. I had a lady reach out to me, and I'm still, even though I teach and train, I'm still very active in the real estate business myself personally, right? Had a lady reach out to me on Connected Investors. She said, "Are you still buying properties in Shelby? I've got a great property in Shelby that I'd like to send to you." I said, "Sure, here's my email address." So a few hours later, I get an email about a property, and I don't remember the street name, but it was 712 Elm Street in Shelby. Great rental property. She's got pictures of it. She's got everything. "Joe, it was my house. It was my house she was trying to sell me," right? I couldn't believe it. I'm like, how is she going to even make any money, right? Because she even had my guy's phone number, Dan. She had his phone number, his email address, and said, "Call Dan. He'll take care of you. He'll take care of you and get you all the info on it." Well, come to find out, she had talked to Dan a couple of days earlier, and she said, I've got a buyer's list of about 300 investors. Would you give me $1,000 if I sent your property out to my buyer's list and one of them bought the property, right? She didn't say anything about she was going to mail, or not mail, but she was going to promote the property and start reaching out to other people and trying to sell. She just said she had a buyer's list, right? So he said, sure, I'll pay you $1,000, you know, a bird dog fee or whatever, you know, if you bring a buyer. But Joe, it gets even better. I was on Facebook the other day, and I see all the messages that come through, right? So I see a message on here, and I've got people in the office that respond. Tanya, my lead manager, she responds to all the Facebook inquiries, and then she sets a task through Podio for Dan, if it's a buyer lead, or one of the other guys if it's a seller lead. So this guy on Facebook messaged me, and he said, hey, I'm interested in this property you have for $39.9, but I just wanted to let you know there's somebody else advertising it for $49.9. So I said, can you send me the link? So he sent me the link, and sure enough, there was a guy on Facebook not only advertising that property, but advertising every other property that we have, not only on Facebook, but on his own website for $10,000 more than what we were selling it for. Now, the first thing that I thought of was that just shows our deals are great deals, right? If a wholesaler can sell our deals for $10,000 more than what we're selling them for, then you know they're good deals, right? You know they're good. So, and come to find out, Dan had already talked to him but as well, and he said the same thing. He's got a buyer's list, but he didn't say anything about marketing our property. So I told Dan to tell him, everything needs to be pulled down by 5 o'clock today, right? And it was okay. He did do that. He pulled them all down. He took them off his website and everything. In fact, he called me looking for a job as an acquisition manager.
Well, Larry, let me play the devil's advocate here. What if he would have brought you a buyer?
And that's good, but I don't want people jacking up my prices and confusing the media, or not media, but the masses about who owns this property, whose property is it, why is it $50,000 over here and $40,000 over here. If he's got a buyer's list, that's great. But we're marketing our own property, and a lot of people who are doing that, and that's called co-wholesaling, guys, right? There's people out there that want to co-wholesale deals, and that's great, right? That's great, and it's a great way to get started. One person brings a buyer, the other person brings a property, right? But don't just go out there and start marketing somebody's property without talking to them about it in advance and setting it up. Had he come to us and said, hey, I want to try to sell your properties, that would have been great. And I would have been okay with that. But I wouldn't have told him, hey, why don't you just jack up the property $10,000 to cover your spread, right? I wouldn't have done that. But you're right, Joe. You're right, Joe. There's a lot of people out there that want to co-wholesale. Some people have buyers. Some people have deals, right? So it's like the two things you need to do deals. You need deal flow and you need money. Doesn't have to be your money. It could be your buyer's money, right? Deal flow is a deal. Money is your buyer, right? Match made in heaven. But I don't care anything about co-wholesaling and splitting all my fee with them. I'll pay them $500 or $1,000 or something for bringing me a buyer. But I don't want to split my $15,000 or $20,000 fee, because then I still got to pay my acquisition guy and my sales guy as well. And I got overhead. And we spend about $10,000 to $15,000 a month in marketing. So, but that's a great point, Joe.
Well, so the idea is this: if you're trying to co-wholesale a deal, talk to the person who's marketing the property first.
Right.
Don't mark the property up. Don't increase the price. What do you do, Larry, if another wholesaler brings you a buyer and there now you got a daisy chain? You know, you've got a wholesaler that co-holds a deal, got a buyer. He wants to stay involved in the middle so that he doesn't lose his money. Now you're also in the middle because maybe you're double closing it or whatnot. How do you handle that?
Well, here's the thing. I don't do these daisy chain deals where there's two or three people on the HUD. I don't do that. As long as I can stay in control, and I'll do a co-wholesale agreement with that other wholesaler that brought me a buyer, I'll do an agreement with them, but I'm not even going to pay them on the HUD. Okay. I'll put them down. I'll pay them $1,000 and we'll pay them. I'm going to get a, what is it? An I-9 or a W-9.
W-9. Yeah.
We're going to get a W-9 signed. We're going to cut them a check. And if they don't trust me to do that, I just tell them, just Google my name, right? Yeah, I mean, why am I going to rip you off, right? Just Google my name. You'll see I got too much to lose, you know, for trying to save $1,000, right? So if they don't want to deal with that, that's fine. Because I know one thing. If I'm doing a deal, it's going to sell, right? It's going to sell or I'm not going to do it, right?
So when a wholesaler brings you a buyer, you want to deal directly with that buyer. You'll have an agreement on the side signed with that wholesaler that brought you that buyer, but you want to deal directly with that buyer. You don't want any daisy chains in the middle.
Exactly. That's so true, Joe. That's true. And I don't want, there's other people that'll do it, put it on the HUD and all that, but I want to keep it simple. I want a good, clean HUD. I don't want my seller or buyer saying, well, what is this $2,000 or $1,000 or whatever over here? What is that? Right? So I want a good, clean deal, no daisy chain kind of deals, and I just like to keep it simple, right? Yeah. I think that's very, very important, right? I think it's very, very important. So we're marketing our property on Facebook, LinkedIn, Connected Investor, Craigslist. We put out bandit signs. We put out about 30 bandit signs for every one of our properties, okay? And I'm really kind of getting into the selling part as opposed to building your buyer's list. Which we're going to talk about next, how to sell your properties very, very fast. But just remember, in marketing your properties and selling them, you're doing two things. You're selling your property and you're building your buyers list. So always, always, always be generating more buyers, right? And qualifying those buyers, separating the suspects from the prospects. And you want to get two things. You want to get, of course, their name, but you want to get their phone number and their email address, right? So you can call them, RVM, and text them, ringless voicemail, and you can also email them anytime you want to. We send out a weekly email. Every week we have a Monday morning meeting, and we go over all of our properties, and then we generate an email, and that email goes out to our buyers list, right? And it's our buyers list that are subscribed at investorsrehab.com. Investorsrehab.com, they can sign up right there, and get on our buyers list, and then that way they get notifications of our properties.
Good.
So now, Joe, can you think of anything else we need to add about building your buyers list? I mean, you know, you can do direct mail to do that. We could go over that, you know, mailing postcards or letters. And,
I just want to reemphasize, always be building your buyers list. Always, always be building your buyers list. Go where the buyers are. You know, the buyers are probably not going to be in the wholesaling houses full-time Facebook group.
There's
a lot of other wholesalers.
Not your buyer. There's a lot of wholesalers there, but everybody's trying to sell, not buy.
Right. So where are they? Well, they're at the RIA groups. They're looking on Zillow and Facebook Marketplace. They're looking on Craigslist.
Printed newspaper.
Printed right? Newspapers, penny savers, so and bandit signs. I find signs are the best for me because you get the local buyers there that are looking for deals. So just don't ignore the old-fashioned, tried-and-true stuff of flapping your lips, networking, signs.
Go old school.
Classified ads. Old school. So that's, yeah, you want that old-school money. Then you got to be old school and go after it. Don't be lazy. Let me say one more thing too. When it comes to buyers, don't hide behind this phone. Don't hide behind voicemail. Answer the stinking phone. Who's your, in this business? And this is something I'm passionate about. When you're wholesaling, who's your customer? It's not the homeowners. It's not the sellers. It's the ones with the money, the cash buyers, the investors. They're your customers.
That's right.
When a customer's calling you, answer the phones. You want to sell your deals fast and stand above your competition, it's really easy. answer the phone. That's something that's competition right. is not doing. And if you can't answer the phone, get somebody who can. I'm telling you, a realtor out there struggling right now with listings, if they want to triple their business, all they need to do is answer their phone and be more accessible.
That's so true.
Sell a lot of deals and get a lot of buyers that come back to you to buy more properties over and over and over again. I've heard this so many times from our buyers. You guys are the only ones who answer their phones. You're the only ones who return our phone calls. You're accessible. I trust you, right? Answer your stinking phone. I get mad about that. People don't get it.
You know what bugs me, Joe? You'll call up to speak to an agent and they'll say, I'm sorry, they're not in there in the field right now. If you ask them for their mobile number, they say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to give that out. Wait a minute.
You hate money?
Only. Their own commission only. The only way they make money is by talking to people.
I haven't done it in about a year, but I used to run a local mastermind with all the top wholesalers in St. Louis. And only you had to be invited. It was invite only. People that, you know, you had to be invited to come to the whole, and these are all top level wholesalers in St. Louis. Guess what all of them have in common?
They answer the phone.
One of my former students, former acquisition managers, is doing 100 deals a year. I know if I called him right now, he would answer his phone. And when we started doing this, we actually, because we decided to, this is 2013, 2014, so 5, 6, 7 years ago, whatever it was, we stopped doing any seller marketing. All we did was market for buyers. And this guy was so good at the phone, I knew he would answer the phone. So I put a virtual number, but I redirected that virtual number to his cell phone. So when we sent all of our marketing, it redirected to him. And we got such good buyers. We had the best buyers in St. Louis, and he still does, that we just told everybody around us, hey, bring us your deals. Bring us your deals. We've got $5 million burning a hole in our pocket right now. Bring us your deals. And we had the best buyers because this guy would answer his phones. And then all we did was we had realtors bringing us deals saying, I don't even want anything. I just want you to take care of my client. We had other wholesalers that couldn't find a buyer. I said, just pay me $500. Just pay me $1,000. And so we didn't have to do any seller marketing because everybody else was bringing us their deals because we had such good buyers.
I love it. That's automated co-wholesaling right there.
Oh, it was the easiest thing in the world to do. We stopped working together we parted ways as friends. It's a funny story. I'll go into it another time, but he is still doing that today. 5 years later, he comes to me and says, hey, Joe, can we have coffee? He goes, man, I'm struggling. Business is slowing down. I say, Rick, when was the last time you marketed for buyers? Oh, like every 3 or 4 months, Larry. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I need to start marketing for buyers again. Okay, Rick, come on, let's do it. And I help him, you know, and all of a sudden, boom, he's like busier than ever. Business is great. So you always got to be marketing for buyers.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. So that's the moral of the story right there, guys. Answer your phone, right? There's money in your phone, right? There's money in your phone. All you got to do is answer it, right? So the last thing I want to talk about in building your buyers list is using direct mail, right? You know how you use direct mail and you look up people who own multiple properties or whatever. What you want to do is you want to build a list of people who have bought multiple properties and own multiple properties, but they bought them in the last 6 to 12 months, okay? Those are active buyers right there, okay? Those are active buyers. You can mail them a postcard. You can mail them a letter, right? Have a website, right? You want to have a website so you can be professional. You know, you can either have a VA put the leads in or answer your phone like Joe said, right? Or have somebody answer the phone, whether it's Pat Live or Keller or any of these other services out there that do this for real estate investors, you know, or if you're just starting out, just put them in yourself manually, right? Just put them in yourself manually. You know, you can have a brochure, sit down and meet. You can get a brochure designed for about $20 on Fiverr, right? It's very, very simple. You know, we provide deal flow for fix and flips for landlords. Just have a little bit of information there, you know, and some pictures. It's very simple. A little trifold brochure, and you can order 100 of them for about $30. right?
Let me tell you the best converting direct mail piece I've ever done for buyers. You want to hear what it is?
Sure.
Handwritten yellow letter. Now this is white. So pretend it was yellow. Handwritten. Now it could be white. I don't think it matters. Get a big fat red ink pen, maybe a red Sharpie, and type in these words. Write it down. Urgent at the top, bold and underline. I desperately need to sell my property at 123 Main Street. I've had it listed for some time, and I can't wait any longer. Exclamation point, underline, handwritten. Okay. I got to get this thing sold today. The taxes are paid. The title is clear. Drive by, call me. I need this thing. Well, like, whatever you want to say, just make it your own personal, all right?
Right, right.
Please call me. Your name, just your first name and your phone number. And you send that hand. Oh, then you take that letter. Trust me on this. Okay. I'm talking to everybody out there watching this. You're going to do what I tell you to do here, right? And I'm not going to just raise your hand, say, yes, I'm going to do this, Joe. Okay. Take this letter, crumple it up, open it back up, fold it, stick it in an envelope, an invitation envelope, hand address, and send this letter to all of the investors that own property within a 1 or 2 mile radius of that house. Your phone will light up. This thing works like crazy.
The biggest thing is it's not professional, right? Yes. It looks like one letter sent to one person.
Yes. This thing, I get sometimes in the past, I've gotten 25, 30% response rate. Okay.
Wow, that's huge.
I get investors that call me, say, hey, Joe, I know what you're doing. This is awesome. I love it. I just wanted to tell you this made me laugh, and I'm going to steal it, and I'm going to use it.
Okay. That's cool, man. I love it. Joe, thanks for sharing it. That's awesome.
Oh, they get this letter, and it's clumpy. You know, it's like it's got some thickness to it, and then they open it, and it's got this crumpled up letter in it. It's like, what is this? And it looks like it's the letter from a desperate, motivated seller that's trying to sell their property.
It does. Like, I love it. I love it.
It gets their attention. Let me say one more thing. There's a sign that I've not used this before, but I had a friend who used it, and it works really, really well. It's a handwritten bandit sign. They say, I've got to sell my property. I'll take anything. And a phone number. And I got to sell my property. I'll take anything. Phone number. Handwritten bandit sign that gets people's attention and that gets phone calls. You're just thinking outside of the box. Like, what can I do to grab people's attention?
It's all about marketing, right?
Yep.
That's awesome. Joe, thank you very much for sharing that. I really appreciate it. Guys, on the next module, we're going to show you how to sell those properties very, very fast. Some of it will be a little bit of overlap because, as I mentioned before, you know, some of the same strategy you use to build your buyer's list are the same strategies we use to sell our properties fast. But we're going to show you the different types of signs we use and keywords we use in our ads and things like that. So stay tuned, and we'll see you on the next module.
Thanks, guys. Hey, I was getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but I was so excited. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to this next module, guys. Thanks, Larry.